I'm Gretchen Bridgers of the Always a Lessons Empowering Educators podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
I always say, if you're going to do this, be a conductor. And there's a lot of traits that I pull from all of those different things.
Welcome to the Leader of Learning podcast. This is where educators can come to find inspiration to transform education through effective leadership. I'm your host, Dr. Dan Krynas, and my research and leadership experiences have led me to understand that someone like you, regardless of your role or your title, can truly make an impact in your organization. I chat with amazing guests who epitomize what it truly means to be a leader of learning. I'm so glad you've tuned in. Let's get started. Hey, Leader of Learning, welcome to episode 102 with an amazing guest, Jeff Bradbury. Before we get there, I just want to remind you that if you are listening to this episode in the month of February, we're still running two amazing giveaways. One for your chance to win any professional development book of your choosing, and the other to win a Leader of Learning hoodie, so some Leader of Learning swag for you. Please follow Leader of Learning on any social media for the contest rules to enter either or both of those giveaways. As I mentioned, our guest in episode 102 is my friend, my colleague, and a respected member of the podcasting and content creation communities. Jeff Bradbury is a district-wide instructional coach for digital learning and someone who I have the privilege of calling a friend and a colleague, because Jeff and I are both on the same team of instructional coaches for digital learning in our district here in Connecticut. I want to congratulate Jeff in advance for 10 years as he is celebrating an anniversary this year on his TeacherCast brand and network of podcasts and amazing content that he creates, and everybody who is part of the TeacherCast network. I know you'll get a lot of value out of this episode, especially when it comes to leadership. I think that Jeff has an amazingly creative way of looking at leadership, especially as he has experienced musical conducting. He kind of considers leadership like being an orchestra conductor. He lays out that idea and so much more in this episode. So without further ado, coming up is my interview with Jeff Bradbury.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
My next guest is someone who I am very familiar with. Hopefully you are too. Excited to bring on Jeff Bradbury, host of the TeacherCast network of podcasts, really, and someone who I have admired in the podcast space for a long time. And not only do I admire him as a podcaster and educator and leader, but as a friend as well. We've grown to know each other quite a bit over the last couple of years. So it's taken a while, but Jeff, thanks so much for coming on, and please introduce yourself to everyone.
Hey, Dan, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me on the show. My name is Jeff Bradbury. Been working in education for the last 20 years, as you said. 10 years ago, started the TeacherCast Educational Network. I'm excited that we're actually celebrating 10 years of TeacherCast this year. There's a lot of great things happening, and really excited to be working with you and our school district as digital learning coaches for an amazing school district of 13,000 students and 1,300 employees, and trying to move the needle forward one inch at a time.
It has been pretty awesome to I won't say come full circle, but just come back around to the point at which we can actually get to work together, not just in the same district, but now on the same team. And it's just getting started, our work together. And we'll talk about that maybe a little bit. But let's go back for a second to 10 years with TeacherCast and podcasting and creating really awesome education content, especially around educational technology and tech coaching. How did you get started in that? I mean, I've been doing it now. I would consider myself a bit of a seasoned veteran, and I've just been doing it for 3.5 years, 10 years. How did that come about?
You know, I was working in New Jersey at a high school and started to do some PD. And, you know, as a coach, if you said to somebody, you know, hey, Dan, you want to learn about Google Slides? Here's 13 different websites to go to. What are the chances that they're going to hit all 13? What are the chances that they're going to hit three of them, right? They're going to look at one, maybe two, kind of get overwhelmed and say, this isn't for me, else, you know, I'm good. So the idea for TeacherCast really started as a couple things. It was a home for where I was creating my resources for the PD that I was doing. I was getting into ed camps at the time. And at the same time, I wanted to have one spot that was going to hit all the different learning styles. You know, we say that our students learn orally, visually, kinesthetically, and that's exactly how adults learn too. So very quickly, we created a podcast. There's a little bit of a backstory behind why that hell happened. But, you know, we created a podcast because people were asking me questions. I didn't have the answers. I wanted to bring in the answers. So audio, we started writing blog posts and app reviews and things like that. And then on top of that, we had the visual. So no matter what you were looking at, orally, visually, kinesthetically, you know, the YouTube channel, stuff like that, I wanted to make sure it was a one-stop shop for education. And that's kind of at the time where we came up with the concept of a place for teachers to help other teachers. Since then, you know, shortly after that, I would say we opened up Ed Camp New Jersey, did that for a couple years, and very excited about the fact that we went from this concept that started in March 12th, 2012, that was literally at one of the Ed Camps in Philadelphia, Ed Camp Social Studies. Me, Billy Krakauer, and Dana Sorodiak kind of got together and said, hey, how about all this? Couple years later, we had our fourth or fifth Ed Camp New Jersey, topping almost 1,100 teachers. Had a great time with that and became a tech coach. And now I'm living in Connecticut and having a good time 10 years later. It's been an amazing ride. And everything that we're doing really is focused on what we're doing right now. We're creating a digital learning department to be a place where teachers help other teachers. So it really, really has been a good 10 years. And I'm excited and proud of all the work that has happened.
Yeah, and you should be. I mean, I definitely got introduced to you and your work before we knew each other personally. As a matter of fact, I can remember, although we didn't officially meet, when I got to know you in person was you mentioned about Ed Camps. You presented or you led a session at Ed Camp Southwest Connecticut. Mm-hmm. Which actually is, in a way, coming full circle because that Ed Camp was held in one of the schools in our district, yeah. And now we work in the district. It's really, really crazy how that's all happened. Let's actually dive in, if we could, maybe even a little bit further back, perhaps, than TeacherCast. How about maybe a bit of an origin story in terms of your background with or passion for technology and instructional technology? I'm not even sure I know that story.
I'm a tinkerer, right? I always say I am my own grandpa. You know, my grandfather was an organ fixer. He actually worked on the organs at Wanamaker's. If you know that one in Philadelphia, he worked for a prison. He was woodworking. He developed a gyroscope, which was actually in the first aircraft that traveled across country, trying to keep the aircraft. The first unmanned aircraft that traveled across the country. He helped build that. And I'm kind of the same way. You know, if you look at TeacherCast again, you got the podcast, you got the blogs, you got all that stuff. I can remember being really, really young when my father brought me my first Gateway computer, and it was this huge monster tower, and all I wanted to do was take it apart and put it back together. And I Frankenstein that thing for about 6 or 7 years, and at the end it had multiple sound cards and multiple this and multiple that. And, you know, I remember putting on Windows 95 and ME and 8 and all that stuff, and who knew? Couple years later, I would be standing next to Satya Nadella as the podcaster for Microsoft Education. That was awesome. You know, in the middle, I worked for Staples and stuff like that. So I really got into computers and how to sell and what a modem is, what a hard drive is, and can't tell you how many zip drives I sold, but always into technology, always into things. When I was in 15, 16, we created Bradbury Web Design, and that was really the start of me making websites and the start of me doing the whole entrepreneurship thing. And the whole technology teaching really does, I guess, stem out of me working at Staples and working for trying to teach customers of what do you want? How do you want to use it? Why would you want this computer? I guess I'm thinking about that for the first time.
It's so awesome that you say that because I think I knew that about that part, the Staples part about you. I have a similar story where I actually worked during college and even a little bit after college at Circuit City, which isn't really around anymore. There was a Best Buy that moved in up the street and put us out of business. But same kind of thing. I remember when I worked at that store, there were kind of two big departments. There was like the entertainment department that did the big TVs and sound systems and audio video. And then there was like the small electronics where it was digital cameras and camcorders, but also computers and computer things. And I worked more in the small electronics. And like you said, getting to know the actual tech, but also having that customer service experience where you're helping people out with it. So you need to know it well enough to be able to get them to know it and use it. And that was really great. And I think in some ways, now that I've come into this coaching role where I get to help more with instructional technology, I remember that. And so I really do appreciate that you brought that up. It's a cool experience to share.
Yeah. I never, maybe you're hitting something for the first time out of me, right? I never really associated selling a warranty or selling one of two or three fax machines to helping somebody with Google Slides. But there's a lineage there.
That's funny you bring up the warranty thing because I remember that was such a big thing. Like, all right, you got to make sure that you get them that extended warranty.
My proud moment was 58 warranties in a 6-hour period.
Because
one of those
that's
days.
You know, that's pure profit really for the
$2.99 warranty and a $3 stapler.
Oh man, that's funny. So it's like a lot of memories coming back. You know, I also know in terms of your background that your classroom teaching experience really, and again, we share this in common a little bit as well, although I don't have the classroom experience, but you have that music background where you were a music teacher and a conductor and all that. Has any of that experience come into what you're currently doing or looking to do in the future? And also, I guess, how'd you get from the music teaching into the tech more?
Yeah. You know, one of my favorite blog posts that I every now and then I pop it back out on Twitter is called, "Are You a Tech Coach or a Tech Conductor?" And it really does go into understanding how an orchestra works and understanding the fact that in an orchestra, you've got many, many, many violins, violas, cellos, basses, etc. But you only have like one lead trumpet and one lead oboe player. And it kind of goes into the fact that, you know, when you're conducting a violin section, you say something to the lead violinist and then they pass it back on. Whereas you can say something to the one oboe player and it's just a direct conversation. And I look at that as the school district, right? You've got a lead fourth grade teacher and then they help lead the fourth graders all over the place, but you've got one AP biology teacher and that's it. And I can tell the fourth grade teachers how to teach and I can walk into their classroom and I can demonstrate Google Slides and I can pick up the violin and show them, but I'm never going to walk into the AP biology class and tell them how to teach AP biology. So there's a lot of similarities between conducting and that. Also the multitasking. I understanding how to multitask at the different levels. The thing I love about coaching is in 1 minute you can be in the superintendent's office, the next minute you can be in preschool, and then you can be in that AP biology class. And you're constantly switching back and forth. And I do think that my time as a music teacher and conductor helped out. You know, one of my favorite experiences ever was being an opera conductor for many years and having to understand how to work with musicians, how to understand lighting, how to understand choreography, and they're speaking in another language that I don't understand, and it all has to come down to the gestures that you do, not the words that you give. And that really is coaching, is you know, you're in the background, you're a conduit for what we want to have, or a conduit for the conductor, what the vision is of the music. And you really do have to put all of these little pieces together, because ultimately it's about the experience that the student's going to have or the experience that the audience is going to have. So I always say, if you're going to do this, be a conductor. And there's a lot of reasons. There's a lot of traits that I pull from all of those different things.
As you're talking, I'm thinking a couple things. First, I'm thinking, you know, I have actually known quite a few leaders who have stepped into not just leadership, but even administrative roles in schools and districts who have come from that music teaching background. And so I hadn't really heard it explained or compared the way that you just did it, but I think that makes a lot of sense. And I mean, I have a music background as well, and I think that those of us who do understand just how important music can be to someone's education and the value of it in education, but may not realize how much it helps leadership wise. And that kind of leads me into another question too, that, you know, I love to ask people, obviously, on the Leader of Learning podcast, and where we talk all about how you can be a leader no matter what your role, what your title. Was there a moment, a school year, a class experience, any kind of experience that you had where sort of the flip was switched in your mind, where you're like, you know what, I am a leader, or I need to kind of step up more as a leader?
Every day, you know, every single day. And especially, you know, I went from being a music teacher directly into being the first and only tech coach in a K-12 district. And they had to teach me what the job was. I had to teach them how to do the job. And we kind of met in the middle. We moved that district from almost nothing into a full Google Apps environment, totally everything. And now my current position, where my role is to take where we are and move it into a full Microsoft 365 district with Teams and all of these things, a lot of the experiences have transferred over. It is a lot of imposter syndrome. You have to go in with all the confidence in the world that says, I'm going to talk to you, Mrs. Superintendent, Mr. Chief, or what? You have to have all the confidence in the world, because after all, they brought you here with your abilities. At the same time, you got to go back to that coaching of, I can't tell the superintendent what to do. I can make a suggestion, and we do that. No different than sitting down with the principal oboe player and saying, you know how to play Beethoven's Fifth. Here's how I'm going to conduct it. How do we want to do this together? Do you want me to wave my arm? Do you want me just to look at you? And then we come up with how we want to play those different solo passages. Every day, you know, I love the fact that every single day I'm challenged, both from above and from below, in leadership qualities. Even here, you know, a couple hours ago, I just got an email from one of our supervisors, and we're kind of emailing back and forth things. So how do you show leadership by email? How do you show leadership by text message? How do you show leadership by conversations? How do you show leadership by action? How do you show leadership by the chat on a Teams message? All these different things are all up there. So learning a lot. I don't know if I just answered your question or not, but we're all kind of there. You know, every single day, I think we have those challenges.
I think that was a great answer, in the fact that I'm not sure I had heard anyone really answer, you know, I'm learning every day about how I am as a leader and how I kind of fit in. And that last point you made about, like, leading through a variety of interactions that you have with people above you, people, you know, on our team at this point, because it's a new team and we're all getting to know each other and learn from one another. And really, you know, we are coaches, but we're coaching each other in so many ways. And then how do you do it in person? How do you do it through an email or through a Teams chat? Yeah, I think that's a great point.
The one thing you learn about leaders is you're never off, right? You can get comfortable with somebody, and then suddenly you're in a different situation with that same person, and you have to turn off the silly and you have to turn on the serious. You know, last week had the same example. Somebody and I were having a great, friendly, bantery conversation. A third person walked into the conversation, and we both kind of kept the silliness, and we're like, "Oh, should have switched the goal around here." It's challenging, but it should be. It's why it's called leadership. But at the same time, you know, it's all setting the example. It's all saying, here's how we are. I don't think everybody has to take themselves so seriously, but it is a matter of, you know, leadership skills. I think we're all working on it from the top down of everywhere. We all put our clothes on the same way. You have your desk, I have mine. We all have our responsibilities, but even with my triplets, one of them is always trying to lead the others, right? Are you going to push them down the steps? Are you going to show them how to walk down the steps? It's all the same thing. Not that that was an experience we had.
I won't even go there. I don't want to know. let's switch gears. We'll shift into a little bit more of the tech side of the conversation. Clearly, the last almost year now has been different, educationally and instructionally speaking, with COVID and different protocols and remote learning. Oddly enough, I think people like you and I have seen it as an opportunity to push harder than we ever have before our own values and mission and vision in terms of innovating in education. But how have you seen things change and evolve specifically over the past year or two?
When you go from orchestra for many years to which, yes, I am a teacher. I am a classroom teacher. I am, you know, I'm not a fake teacher, right? Like, you know, oh, you're just a music. No. You're a teacher. You have 100 people in front of you. You go from that environment into coaching where you have every environment, but you're not in the trenches. One of the best things that ever happened to my career was I went from that first coaching experience into, in Connecticut, a full-time middle school teaching position where it was awesome. I loved the job, loved the people, loved the administration, loved the whole thing. And you're humbling, maybe is the answer. You're back in the classroom. You're dealing with parents. You're dealing with students. You're dealing with grades. You're dealing with all of that stuff. And I still had coaching responsibilities, but I'm saying this all because when we did hit in March, I was a full-time teacher. I had to experience this. I had to sit here at my house. And granted, I'm a little bit more techie than usual. And yeah, I've got the three monitors and the broadcasting gear. And it was easier for me to make the transition than others who might have been on, like, you know, an 11-inch Chromebook only. But I'm happy that I had the experience of doing it. And now that I've made the transition back into district-wide coaching positions, now I can draw upon that and go, you know, last year when I was teaching middle school, last year when I was doing this, you do have those opportunities to see both sides of the fence. And it's not, you know, as opposed to somebody who might not have experienced that. I think overall, I'm seeing teachers more comfortable with things. You know, one of the things that we talk about is, you know, getting people to stop the substitution of physical lessons into digital and really start whatever the definition of innovation is for that particular educator. I think we're all still learning. I think there are teachers that every day are out there trying to coast because they need to. And I think that those teachers are also the same ones that are trying to push, but they are trying to figure out where they are between their building, their technology, their students, their curriculum, their pedagogy. And every day is different. Every day is a struggle. Every Wednesday, in March, I launched our TeacherCast Tech Coaches Network as a Wednesday night roundtable. And we've got sometimes 10 people show up a week, and sometimes we have 100 people show up a week. Everyone's out there having the same experiences of how do we do this? And every day is different. So how do we do this every single day?
How about some tools, resources, strategies that you think have worked and may continue hopefully to work as we still continue to navigate the whatever way school is looking for people these days?
Yeah, you know, my number one favorite tool to use is still a pencil and paper. You know, we've talked about this. All my websites are done on paper and pencil. All of the, anytime I take out a teacher and we're working together. Now that pencil and paper might be an iPad and an iPad pencil, but it's still the act of drawing and writing and designing that doesn't involve a keyboard. So I find that when I sit down with somebody with an environment of just sitting there and drawing things out in front, you're able to reach teachers quicker. You're able to get down to whatever level they are, and you're able to start reaching your goals quicker. I'm just one of those people that I, even with all the tech, I find that a computer and a screen is very limiting to the imagination. And I think the best app I've ever bought was my iPad and the pencil. And I just draw on it constantly with everything that I'm doing. So, you know, for your leaders out there and for your tech coaches out there, that pencil is the most important thing that you could have with you at all times.
You know, I find myself, I'm more digital these days, and I got to be honest, I can probably count on one hand how many times I've like literally handwritten something over the past several months. As a matter of fact, I returned a Christmas gift that I was given, which was, it was one of the coolest things I'd ever seen technologically speaking. It was a notebook, like, you know, paper notebook that had kind of an electronic pen with it. And basically everything you wrote in the notebook would then get digitized into an app and saved into the cloud. And it was really awesome. I just didn't know how often I would use it. And I'm a little surprised by your answer there. But yeah, I don't know. I don't necessarily use the pen and paper so much anymore.
You'll notice this about me the more we get to work together. I will always carry my iPad with me because of the pencil feature. Because it's just easier. And also, you know, and I you might have even seen me do this. I'll take out the iPad, I'll take out the MacBook, and I'll take out the iPad, and I'll use that stage coaching or whatever they call it. So that way the iPad becomes your second monitor. And then I'll throw the iPad at the whoever I'm speaking with, and I call that distance learning tech coaching. So you're seeing my screen, but you're over there. Even just doing something like that sometimes is intimidating for people.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that the other day with a mutual administrator of ours, and he was 20 feet away at his desk. I was sitting on the other side of the room. But the fact is, we were literally next to each other because he could see my screen and everything I was doing. That iPad is awesome. And yeah, that iPad, it's just, there's so much stuff and power in the use of a pencil.
I like that. I respect that. I don't know. I feel like I've gone away from it for far too long, but yeah, I get that. Now, I have to ask you before I of course ask you to like plug away and list all the things that you're working on and where everybody can find you. But I guess before we get there, you've talked about it a little bit, and I know we don't want to talk about it too much because we talk about it all the time. But that is like kind of the vision for where we're going with our own team and our own district. How might you use the work that we are talking about in terms of our next steps in our district to kind of, I don't want to say advise, but how can districts and the schools and the staffs help each other kind of move into that next, I don't even know what you call it, like the next wave of real digital learning and innovation and just basically taking a school or a district and bringing everybody together and being on the same page with all that.
If you have, let's use the word tech coach. I know there's very, you know, technology coach, innovation, digital, let's just call it tech coach. If you have 10 tech coaches in a room, the problem is you have about 25 different job descriptions. I do this, you do this, we do this, my principal thinks this, I have six buildings, they all treat me differently. One of the things that I think is important, and this is coming from years of experience, and this is coming from working with thousands of tech coaches across the country, across the world, really. When you're working in a department, the most important thing is to stabilize what the role, responsibility, and I don't want to say job description because we think job description is like the paragraph, right? But this is what I am and this is what I do and this is how I can help. And I think it's really important that if you've got, you know, I've worked with school districts, I've mentored school districts that have one tech coach, and I've mentored school districts that have 30 tech coaches. And when you walk in and you say, hi, my name is Dan, this is the role that I do. And then somebody goes, hi, my name is Jeff, this is the role that I do. It's important that all the leaders understand exactly what we're supposed to do. And so that way somebody doesn't go, hi, Dan, you're going to be changing Chromebooks tomorrow. And somebody doesn't go, hey, Dan, why don't you go into the classroom and work? And I've seen too many school districts where multiple tech coaches have multiple different jobs. And what ends up happening is it doesn't work well. Somebody doesn't like somebody because they've got more work to do than the others, right? And I've seen this happen in many, many school districts. I love the work that we're doing because we are starting from that ground up and we are creating what that vision is together and we are promoting it together and we are sharing it together and we're starting off with a nice nucleus. And so I would say for any advice that we have is know who you are, know what your skin is and know what your skin is for and be able to then present that to everybody and say, you know, I have one job and my job here is to help you. I'm here to make your lessons more dynamic through the use of technology.
Yeah, that's great. Really well said. And I just want to kind of end it on that because I think that was a perfect kind of a wrap up. So with that, certainly thank you for your time and all the work that you've done for 10 years now. I know not in your career, but especially in terms of your leadership and content creation and all of the coaching and support that you've offered to me and everyone out there listening who knows of you and your stuff. So appreciate that. Of course, where can people find you? The website, the podcast, the social media, all that.
Yeah, you can always head over to teachercast.net. I got a nice little landing page, has all the great stuff. But, you know, we deal with tech coaches. If you're looking for a great website, we've got stuff there. If you're looking to build a podcast, we've got stuff there for you. If you're looking at how to bring podcasting into your classroom and do audio and video lessons, we got that. And Dan, I said this for the last couple of weeks, but, you know, by the time that this show comes out, we should be having the Jeff Bradbury show out, helping people build their creative brands and get onto social media, build all that good stuff that we're talking about here today and really become their own leaders of learning.
Yeah, thank you for that. You know, we have talked about branding on the show fairly recently in a couple of episodes, but maybe a part two of the Dan and Jeff interview here, because I think you have a lot to offer in that avenue of education and edupreneurship as well. So we'll get there, but I appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much for coming on and thanks for all your work.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't done so yet, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app. Also, if you enjoy the content shared on the show, please recommend this podcast to other educators, leaders, friends, or anyone you think would love listening and learning. I would also appreciate it if you would leave a positive rating and review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or whatever podcast app you use to listen. For more information about me or this show, head over to leaderoflearning.com. While you're there, you can also find the Leader of Learning blog, how to connect on social media such as Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Voxer, sign up for our newsletter, and even find out how to purchase Leader of Learning merchandise. Thanks again, and remember, no matter who you are or where you are, you too can be a leader of learning.